Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's podcast. I couldn't be more excited about my special guest on this podcast. And the subject of this podcast is what you have been asking for, what you have been wanting, and most importantly, what you need to be a great date. So with no further ado, Lindsay of Smart Dating Academy is joining me today to discuss, you guys, how to be a great date and the thing that daunts so many of us. How do we have dating conversations, and what are the most important questions and how to ask them on dates 1, 2, 3, and 4? So with no further ado, Lindsay, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. Welcome back to the Smart Dating Academy podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited we're doing this. These are always really fun.
I am too. You know, Lindsay and I are really lucky that we get to be on Zoom a couple times a week onboarding new clients. So I feel like we're so at home. And this is just, you know, it's, you know, pour yourself a glass of wine, make yourself a latte, get some sparkling water. Maybe you're going out for a walk because we're going to drop more gems on you. You might actually want to get your notebooks and your pens out and put this one on repeat. And by the way, just a little plug, if you have not yet subscribed to this podcast, I know so many of you are devoted listeners, hit that subscribe button right now because Lindsay ought to make you subscribe to just about anything. So Lindsay, I could ask you a million questions to start, but why don't you just tell for those listeners that you're new to, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been at Smart Dating Academy, and just, you know, what you love?
Yes. As soon as you asked how long I've been here, I feel like I've been here forever. So I'm like, quickly, do the math. And Bella, was it since 2013?
Yes, it's been a dozen years, ladies and gentlemen.
It has, and it's flown by, and I feel so incredibly lucky that we get to do this together. So as we talk to you all about what it's like on the first few dates, I just want you to know that when Bella and I met for the first time, we pretty much broke every first date rule that there is. So we spent too much time together and I met her family that day, but we're not going to advise you to do that.
We didn't get physical too quickly, so don't worry about that. I'm joking.
It may have been a hug at the end. I think we already realized that this was going to be.
We did. And yes, we absolutely. And I knew that there would be a second, third, and many years to come after that first date. So, you know, Lindsay and I are both good daters. So we knew how to make this decision pretty quickly. For those of you who don't know, Lindsay has been married for, I don't even know how many years.
Hitting our 20-year anniversary this summer, coming up on June 17th, which is just so incredibly exciting. Like, I'm really, we were just talking about that. So
what are you doing to celebrate?
We are working on that. Oh my goodness. You know what I just said that? I said that 20 years, we were already planning our 20-year anniversary. Actually, this year's could be 19 because we're talking about what we're doing next year for our 20th. We have been together for now 21 years. So wedding anniversary is a little different, but something big, something really fun. We're working on it.
Okay. So
I've been married a long time. I have 3 children. I am in the thick of it with 3 teenagers in the house. But which is always really exciting and fun. And then they get to hear all the dating advice as well.
Isn't that crazy? And yes. And you know what we've noticed with our collective 5 teenagers between the two of us is the questions that our teens have in dating really aren't very different than what we help adults on a daily basis. So my kids are the proud beneficiaries of being the children of a dating coach. So they have the handbook and the list of red flags and the trajectories, and they know all of the things. But it's okay. They still make mistakes because I'm just their mom, and they're like, I know, those were five red flags. So, but it's very fun, in any case, having teenagers and helping them to date. And Lindsay, I know that wild world is coming your way. Your kids are a little younger than mine.
Yes. Oh, I know. But I had to laugh because we went to see my daughter and I went to see the musical Funny Girl on Friday night. We had dinner beforehand. And we're having dinner, and all of a sudden, my daughter, who's 14, she's in eighth grade, looked at me and she's like, "So, Mom, what is your love language?" And then I was like, "Oh, how do you know about this Instagram?" But so then we dove into what we thought each love language in the family is, and each one's a little bit different, and had this really thoughtful discussion. And I'm like, she is so the daughter of a dating coach. Like, that would be the question. She knew exactly what to ask. She knew I'd get really excited by all that.
Oh, that's so cute. I love that. Lindsay's got great kids and a great daughter. And for those of you who might be listening to this for the first time, I think I will be celebrating, I had to do the math, our 28th wedding anniversary this year, which is insane. And my kids are 17 and 21. So, yeah. Absolutely in the thick of it. So it's like dating during the day, listening to their dating stories at night. So it's like dating, dating, and dating, which, you know what? This is the food that feeds me, and I know it's the food that feeds you too. So let's just hop into this. You guys want formulas, you want algorithms, you want questions, you want ways to do things. And what we want to do today is set the foundation for you to have a rubric to follow. And we're going to talk about, if you think about, yes, we're going to talk about questions for date one, two, three, and four, but let's just start out with what's really important before we get too in the weeds on the dates. What do you think, Lindsay, in your experience, over the last 12 years and even before that, what makes someone a great date?
I'm glad we're starting here because I think we could give you all straight the questions to ask, but without having the right foundation and without going into the date with the right mindset and preparation, asking the questions out of the blue without any of the prep work, it doesn't translate. So really, I think the key, there are a lot of things that go into making a great date. We like to equate dating is very much like the interview process when you're looking for a job, only it should be more fun. It should not feel as sterile, but you do want to go in just like you would for a new job, looking, being prepared and knowing ahead of time, thinking about what kind of questions they're going to ask you, making sure you've done your homework, making sure you've looked at their profile. You are familiar with any conversations you had on the phone. You take notes and you remember what questions you ask so you don't repeat yourself on the first date. Making sure that you go into it knowing that both of you are going to be so nervous. Because that is basically what dating is. It's very nerve-wracking in those first few minutes. It's like giving a speech. And then it should get a little bit better over time. But making sure that you're going to every date prepared, and we like to say, always have three questions in your back pocket. Always like think of things that if you get that awkward silence, which inevitably everybody does, what can you do to sort of jumpstart the conversation again?
I
And
love that. I love that. And Lindsay said so much here, and I wanted to take a couple steps back, right? If we're talking about, for example, the majority of you out there dating, right? You might meet somebody at pickleball. You might meet somebody at wine tasting. You might, get set up with your office mate who hopefully is not your boss or someone that works for you, but that's a whole nother story. But let's just say you've been on the apps and you're messaging back and forth. Now, like Lindsay's saying, there's information in their dating profiles, which is sort of equivalent to reading someone's resume. You know what their interests are. You've read their personal statement. You've looked at their photos. And now, key steps for smart daters. Before you're going back and forth, let's say you've swiped right, now you're messaging back and forth. Do not jump directly to the date. Okay, we want you to go back and forth on text. Have a video date with someone, ladies and gentlemen, before you get to the date. So the tips that we're giving you today, you can even use in video so that, like Lindsay's saying, when you actually then video is kind of like a pre-screening date, and that can be a 15 to 20 minute FaceTime, it can be in the app, but that's just gonna make sure that this person looks what they like what you think their photos represent, that they sound like. So there's a lot of ground that you will potentially, if you follow this rubric, have already covered by the time you get to the first in-person date.
Exactly. And we are huge fans of video, and we are in the weeds with our clients every single day. And hands down, I will tell you, the worst dates our clients go on are the ones they skip the phone call or they skip the pre-screen video date. That's where that disappointment can lie. And what's really nice about it is when you actually have that video date before the call, it helps, it primes the date to go well because it takes away those first jitters of when you're meeting somebody for the first time. So you get a chance to really see who they are and get all that nervous awkwardness out of the way. And so by the time you get to the date, you can greet them warmly and you can treat them like they're a good friend and you can give them that, treat them in a way that you'd want to be greeted and take it from there. Whereas looking, being surprised if maybe they don't look like their pictures and they're 20 years older.
Yeah. And public service announcement here. If you're that person that says, I don't like video, I look better in person. There's so many of you out there. If that's you, just raise your hand. I can't see you, but here's what I would say. Using video is to your advantage, and you look just as good on video as you do in person, right? We all think we don't. I'm telling you, we do. Lindsay and I do this all day, every day with people. And not only will you potentially stave off nervousness and build a connection by using video, and the flip side, if somebody's truly bananas, you know, we always say crazy can't hide for more than 10 to 15 minutes. If someone's truly berserk or super negative or just looking for a hookup, a lot of that may present itself during this video call. And you can just choose to get off the call and not have a date. And man, you just saved yourself 3 hours, a lot of consternation and money as well, right? Think about all this rushing for a date. Maybe it's valet, maybe it's Ubering, it's time out of your schedule, maybe it's babysitting. There's a lot that goes into this. So if you're not using video, number one, you might be doing yourself a disservice by wasting time. And number two, you might be red flagging somebody. If they're a smart dater and our clients ask for video and someone says, I don't want a video with you, I'm an in-person person. Lindsay and I put up a yellow to red flag on that.
It's a flag. And a lot of people don't know exactly how to ask to move somebody to the video. So What I recommend is when you're exchanging messages back and forth online and you inevitably get the, hey, do you want to go grab a drink? Then you can use that as your launch pad to get to the video. So you could say, I would love that. You know, let's hop on video. Let's just have a quick vibe check or a quick FaceTime call for about 5 minutes. And then we can figure out when and where we're going to meet. I'd love to put a face to an email or a text or whatever it is. And you make it quick, but you use it as a way that you've agreed to the date. And it's really just about planning the date. And that helps a lot with getting there. And some people have never done this and they think, and they might pause awkwardly and they might not know exactly like, well, gosh, I've never done video before. A good sign is that they are willing to try. You say, you know what? I have been doing that more recently lately and it's been really fun. And I find it like just makes, it'll just be a lot easier when we end up meeting. We'll recognize each other. And most people are up for it. And the very few that have said no, our clients usually would then screen them out. But occasionally the person said no, the client has gone ahead and met them and it was a no within a second. As soon as they walked in, they're like, now I see why they didn't do video. So, and the other thing is video is a date, so to speak. So you do have to make sure that when you do show up on video, that you do put a little bit of effort in, that you still are on camera, that you still pull yourself together, that you still look date ready. So some of our clients will get video date ready and they'll say, all right, every Wednesday night, I'm doing a video date. They'll put on their makeup, they'll get their hair ready to go. And then they just do two video dates back to back that night to screen for their dates for the weekend, whatever works for you.
Yes. And public service announcement again, I'm full of them.
So many of those. So many public service.
For women and men. Yeah. Make sure your camera angles look good. Okay. Many of you, even that do consults with us or one-time sessions with me, I will have you adjust your video. I have had many of you adjust your backgrounds because something looks strange, or it's like, do you realize we can only see up to your nose, right? Practice this with somebody if you haven't done video, and you cannot be moving around thinking that's okay to be on a video date because it gives the person who's watching you vertigo. We've experienced that, haven't we, Lindsay? Yeah. Where somebody's walking around during one of our onboardings and we'll
they carry their computer with them from room to room and I'm feeling car sick. Yes.
Yeah.
Lighting and making sure that you don't have your brightest window directly behind you where you're in the dark. So those tricks are readily available online. Feel free to write and ask us. We'll help you. We have Zoom. We love Zoom lights, camera lights and everything else. But a video, having a good setup as your pre-screen is key. Maybe setting up a time where you know each week you're ready for your video dates because so it doesn't get exhausting for you. And then knowing that, and then treating it really like a first date. So if you get to a coffee meeting after a video date, hey, guess what? Counts as your second date.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Lindsay, I love the story that you've told me and you've told many of our clients about what is partly, you know, one of the things that's made you a really good date and a really good conversationalist. What were the rules around the Miller Jones dinner table?
Oh, goodness. Yes. So I grew up in a family where we definitely had to be prepared for conversation and we're trained to do so at a very, very early age. I mean, I remember this from as young as I can remember. So my parents always had a rule of thumb that you had to be good company. So when you were going to dinner, and whether that was dinner at home or especially if you're going out to a restaurant, as kids, we were told that we had to have three conversation topics to bring up at every dinner. And it was what would be very funny about that is driving to dinner. If we're going out to a restaurant, everybody had our three topics. We would just drive in silence because nobody wanted to use up one of the conversation topics on the car ride there. So my husband had to get used to that when he met my family because he started to bring up a subject. I'm like, no, save that for dinner. Save that for dinner. He's like, wait,
we need content. Don't get it. Don't let it go now.
Keep it light and easy breezy about the weather on the drive there. But what it really did is it helped us think about how can we be a good guest? How can we keep the conversation going? How can we continue to learn about each other as a family? And once you start doing it, it just became second nature. So even to this day, when my husband and I have a date night, which we do every week, just last week, I sent him a podcast. I'm like, oh, this is a great conversation topic for dinner next week. So I will thoughtfully think ahead and so will he. And it just makes it more fun. So we love doing that. And I highly recommend when you go on dates, do the same. And it's fun for the kids too. If you have kids.
100%. And so when you're going to be a good date, remember, we all want to have fun on dates. So instead of thinking, I want to sit back, Lindsay, I just want you to sit here and entertain me with your dinner topics. Okay, Bella, what did you bring to the table? Nothing. I just wanted to be entertained. No, this is not watching Netflix. You are an active participant in this date. And having fun is half your response. It's you having fun is 100% your responsibility. And you need to do half of the lifting. So what are some fun things you can think about, talk about, listen to, even before the date, which aren't polarizing, which could be just fun? Can you enlighten me with three things I didn't know?
Yes. Oh, I love that question. That's a good one.
Right.
And anything, and yes, any, and it can be anything, and you should be reading. I like that you said nothing controversial, and there's a lot of that right now. So trying to keep it very light and easy breezy, but it could be, you know, what was actually, I was just talking about this with a client the other day. It was like, hey, what was the last thing that you Googled online? And that ended up, we had a really funny subject about it because we were like starting to look at the history and they were very random. But it's just having different questions that can bring the conversation to different directions.
Exactly. And remember, I want to frame this episode, right? It's dates 1 through 4. Everybody says, ugh, small talk. I hate small talk. But remember, we had a guest on, you know, who I had fangirled over for years, Deborah Fine. And Deborah says, remember, it's small talk that leads to big talk. Don't be afraid of small talk without the weather and sports and, you know, things that are just happening around us. How hard would it be to have conversations with strangers?
Exactly. It really warms things up and it's what builds rapport. You know, it's that small talk that everybody feels very comfortable where they don't have to overanalyze if, hey, how's the weather today? You can have an answer and not immediately get in your head and be like, oh, are they psychoanalyzing me? Do they think I'm a good date? You can answer about the weather. It sometimes is the easiest way to just get things going. So you can then build that connection to get to the bigger topics later on.
Absolutely. And one really easy way to fire up conversation, if you're looking to make small talk with somebody, even on a date, maybe you're sitting next to somebody at a bar that you would like to date and you don't know what to say. Obviously, look for what's good on them, around them, and tell them. A sincere compliment will break the ice immediately, right? If somebody says to me, oh my gosh, I love your blouse. I will tell you where I got it. I will tell you what I love about it. I will give you too much information because that's just like, it comes from, I want to help you. If you like it, I'll tell you where to get it. And so such an easy thing. Sometimes I find myself when someone will say, I like your jacket, and I'll tell them the whole story about it. I'm like, I don't really think they wanted to know all of that. And yet it made the conversation easy and fun. And invariably we exchange numbers at the end of it. And now I have a new friend. So a sincere compliment will get you a long way.
Hey, I made one of my closest friends because she complimented my highlights on a bus ride going to work forever ago. So you never know. It opens up the door to a lot of different things. And it also, what's interesting is you can listen for tidbits and really pick up on hints and kind of even those surface topics. So if you start with something small, let's say the weather, and the person jumps right in and they go incredibly negative right away and just complain nonstop and how much they hate this or that, well, hey, they're giving you some hints about who they are. So just, you can really listen to everything as well. So even that small talk actually will give you a little bit more insight into who they are.
That's so true. And I think more than, you know, obsessing on the right questions to know, what we want you to do is walk away with a feeling after these dates, right? How did I feel? Did I feel like this was easy? Did I feel like it was fun? Did I feel like it was a good exchange, like a good tennis match? Do you agree?
Yes, yes. And I think actually when you get home from every date, it's helpful to even just quickly jot down one word about how you felt after the date. Because the longer something sits with us, we can kind of reframe it. But if you have that gut feeling of, hey, you know, that was really good, capture that feeling and know that when you're on a date, the other person, everybody is nervous and they're just equally looking to be reassured and being, and so coming in, trying to be a soft place to land and bringing the right kind of energy is key. Like a good date is successful if you go into it expecting to already have a good time. One thing we'll tell you is treat every date like you're meeting a really good friend.
If you're meeting
a really good friend, yes. If you're meeting a good friend, you are going to be excited when you see them. You're going to smile. You're going to greet them warmly. You're going to point out good things. You're going to give a genuine compliment. You're going to be good company. And if you're meeting a friend out, you already expect to have a good time. And good dating begins and ends in the mind. So what you think influences the way that you feel, how you're going to act. So this piece is really important. And I think so often people are going into dates feeling like they're going to be judged, looking for what's wrong, kind of hoping somebody else performs on their behalf. And we don't want to do that.
No. And in addition to all of that, a little controversial, but we really recommend starting out a date with a hug.
Yes.
And I know that freaks a lot of people out, and you might be driving right now wanting to hit the median, like, wait a second, a hug? Are you kidding me? And especially, you know, men tend to go, oh my gosh, what if she thinks I'm like trying to assault her or doesn't want a hug? You can just say, when somebody comes in for a handshake, you can just say, I'm a hugger. Is that okay? And most people will go, oh, okay, because you didn't dive on them right away, yeah. Right? I do this all the time, right? People will say, oh, nice to meet you. And you can't see me on video unless you're watching the YouTube of this, shaking hands. It's like, oh my God, I'm a hugger. Is that okay? They're like, oh, that's amazing. I've never once been refused a hug.
That is so true. It's so true. And when we're talking hug, we're talking appropriate hug. We're not talking full get in there, bodies really touching kind of hug. We're talking, we like to call it like the cousin hug. Like there's a little, like just a nice hug, and it just sets the tone and it puts people at ease right away. Body language is really important, and kind of how you present, it really does. It makes people feel comfortable immediately in your presence.
Exactly. And when you're giving someone a hug, right, the cousin hug is fine, but you would hug your cousin with a little bit of affection. It wouldn't be a pat on the back and like, you know, you're trying to keep 6 inches away from them. It's like a quick, warm embrace, and then you depart, right? So it feels like there's a little grip to it, but not inappropriate. So, because you don't want to seem like you don't know how to give a hug.
No, you don't, because that could come across really cold.
Right, yeah. Right. So
with a smile and a hug. And then if they really object, if they back off, then you could just, yeah, smile, continue to smile. But we don't want to, a date is not a business meeting. And I think that's really the good point that you're making, is if you go in for that handshake, it can immediately set the tone that here we are. Okay, I'm ready to interview you. And you don't want that.
For sure. Well, let me ask you this. Are there any other points you want to mention before we kind of hop into the questions?
Well, I think that, you know, dates are an opportunity for you to be really present. And as much as you want to have your three conversation topics, you also really want to go in and be prepared to be a great listener.
Preach.
Yes. Listening for the gold and really listening to understand versus listening to jump in and quickly cut them off with the Me Too statements, because that's not a way to build connection. A way to really build connection is give the person space to really tell you who they are, what they want, and really listen, and then that's where you can get those natural follow-up questions. When you really are paying attention and really being curious, you can take it to that deeper level. And what that does, it's such a gift to the person who's sitting there, because I just don't think we listen well enough nowadays. And it also builds that connection and that comfort level where they really feel like, okay, this is somebody who's really genuine. It will screen you in for the long term as well. But it needs to come from a very sincere place.
That's so true. And I think, you know, the mechanics of, you know, what are the right questions to ask, right? You want to think about how you feel. Were there red flags for you? Were there green flags? But what Lindsay's saying is right. So much of conversation on dates can happen organically. If we are listening to understand the person in front of us versus what we call listening to respond. So many of us listen to respond. You know, Lindsay could say, well, you know, when I went on this trip to Portugal, you know, I learned blah, 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 blah. And I could go, oh my God, I went to Portugal too. Now, what in my heart, I might have really good intentions to let Lindsay know, oh my gosh, I want you to know you picked a great place. I've been there too. We have a lot in common. But the fatal flaw I'm making at that moment is cutting Lindsay off. Let her talk. about her trip to Portugal. Ask more questions. Even though I've already been there, by the way, which I haven't for the record, and I would love to go. Ask more questions. Get curious. What was your favorite thing? And I promise you, at a certain point, when the conversation comes back to you, right, Lindsay will be very impressed if it takes 15 minutes. She talks all about her trip to Portugal. And then if I say, you know what? I totally agree with you about that dinner. We were there too last year and I loved it. And she'd go, oh my God, you went too? But I let her breathe, let her say her piece without jumping in to try to show her me too.
Yes, yes. And that's what it really, that's how people start to really form those deeper connections. And they really appreciate when you give them that space. And then when you share that commonality, it feels like a real connection versus being frustrated that you got cut off and you didn't get to say what you wanted to say. And I know for all of you listening, you have all been on dates where you have felt that the other person has just talked your ear off. And all you did was listen, listen, listen. And they didn't ask you a single question and you didn't get a chance to share anything. And I realize, like, we hear about that all the time, how frustrating that can be. And what we'll say is you can listen long enough and then there is going to be a natural time for you to interject. And you don't have to wait for them to ask you the question. If you've given them enough room to really hear what they say and you ask enough questions of curiosity, you can then bring up your point and redirect the conversation. And that can give them a hint. Now it's time to start asking questions. So we've all been there where people have talked our ears off, but just know, I think what is, they say, if you really listen well, like that other person is thinking this is the best conversation they've ever had.
Yes, right? Because we all want to be heard.
Yeah.
We all want to feel seen. We all want to feel important. So when somebody asks us a question and is truly listening with their soul, it's kind of intoxicating.
The catnip on a date, everybody. It really is.
Right. And when you feel like someone's kind of half listening, looking at their phone, distracted by what's going on in the background, it's a ding.
Yes.
Right. I work with my kids on this, right? Every time someone opens their mouth, I tell the kids, people are spewing gold out of their mouth, conversational gold. I'm not saying it's gold. I'm not saying it's stuff you might agree with or think is interesting, but they are giving you clues about who they are.
Yes.
And if you listen, truly listen for the gold, conversation becomes so easy because they've said something that you can naturally hone in on and say, that's so interesting that you grew up in Montana. I've never been to Montana. What's it like?
Yes.
You've just, you know, and if you look at it as a date's also an opportunity to learn new things, you get really comfortable in the spot of listening.
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point because, you know, lots, you're going to have to go on a lot of dates till you find your person, but you want to make sure that after, if you are putting forth the time to meet somebody new, that there's always a win-win involved, meaning you've hopefully, you've already screened out for red flags on the profile, through the messaging, through the video call, and all the other steps that actually get you to the point where you're going to meet this person in real life. And then when you're there, really set your expectations that not only are you going to have a good time, but regardless of however way it goes, you're going to learn something new and really look for what's good about that person. Look for that new tidbit, get that great recommendation for the new series to watch, find out what they're currently reading. There's a lot of things that will also, you can take those tips. And then for your next date, now you have another thing to bring up because that book that this perfect person referenced might work into the conversation for your next date. So it should always feel like a good use of your time regardless, but it's one of those things you can really learn a lot about other people and who they are and have a lot more compassion when you ask those questions and really get to the root of what makes them tick.
So I'm going to drop a little bomb in here right now. So often you and I hear, you know, I was on this first or the second date and the person I was on a date with started talking about both of their divorces.
and how both of their exes were pretty poisonous and maybe addicts or this and that. And we're like, okay, well, what more did you find out? And yes. invariably our client will say, well, I didn't think it was appropriate to talk about divorces on the date. So I just redirected the conversation.
Oh gosh, that happens all the time. You're so right.
And so here I'm going to say, again, we're looking for conversational gold. If somebody brings it up, use that to find out more. Do you agree with me?
It is absolutely. It is fair game. Whatever they bring up is a license to just ask a little bit more. And we're not saying you want to go straight to the, you can do this very subtly. It's just another question of, well, gosh, tell me a little more about that. And, or, wow, that must have been, wow, you've been divorced twice and both women crazy. Gosh, you know, that had to be really hard. What happened?
Exactly.
And you ask from a place, again, of curiosity and being open, and then watch what happens. If you ask the question, people feel the need to respond to whatever question they're asked. Now, we'll tell you, daters, if they ask you an inappropriate question, you actually don't have to respond. But what's happening all the time on the dates is these questions come up and everyone feels that they're put on that spot. But you can ask. It's fair game. Find out more. This is going to be a screen in or a screen out.
100%. And so if it comes out of their mouth, it's fair game. And just realize at that moment, they may ask you the question back. And then you want to make sure that you have an answer that is genuine, but doesn't red flag yourself or share more than you want to share. Because remember, on these first few dates, our motto is people need to earn your story. They don't get it up front for free. So just because somebody has, you know, shown up to the date and thrown up their whole life story, that doesn't mean you have to have an equivalent disclosure.
So true. So true. And that's part of where going into the date and prepping it in a way, like you would if you were looking for a job, is so important. There are always going to be those hardball questions that you're going to be asked. Why did you get divorced? What happened to your past relationship? What do you, and those questions are always, oh, the biggest question I think for our clients that can be really hard to ask is, gosh, you know, Bella, you're so beautiful. Why are you still single? Oh, that's one's a tough.
Right. And so the thing to do with that moment is the question I want you to hear is, wow, Bella, you're so amazing and such a great catch. I can't believe somebody hasn't pulled the for sale sign off of you at this point. And I want you to take that as a compliment, not as a judgment. I'm going to say that again. I want you to take that in your mind and spotlight that as what he or she is saying is, you're so awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe I'm this lucky to be sitting here with you right now. That's the question I want you to hear. And then you answer that question really simply. Like, you know what? I believe in love. I know that love is out there for me and I haven't met the right person yet, but I know I'm going to, and I'm so excited for it.
See, that just makes me smile hearing it the way that you say it. You're right.
And you have to say, yeah. You don't have to say anything more. This is not, we can look at it as from a place of judgment. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that because it just works against you. Instead, hear how awesome you are. That's your reframe. And then answer it in a similar way I did. I didn't really say much, right? I didn't give away too much information, but I genuinely spoke from my heart and have hope. And I know that love is out there for me and I know I'm going to find it, right? That's very believable. I didn't go back in and say, well, you know, everyone I've dated has been an addict or a junkie or this, or they've ghosted me, right? That nobody has earned that story.
No, but most importantly, what you really did, Bella, is having that intention, your entire tone changed. So you delivered that in a way of with warmth and with hope because you didn't take it as a judgment. And I think that's really important because we want you to, when you show up on these dates, assume best intention. Assume that they're there because they really are interested in getting to know you. And when you come at it from that place, then the way that you're communicating and the way that it's coming across is coming from a softer tone and not kind of a, oh, well, harsh or negative.
Yeah. And it can get so, and I have so much empathy for all of you that are out there because dating is hard.
Yes.
Not everybody out there listens to this podcast. Not everybody out there comes from a place of love or is nice or is a good listener. And I feel you guys hard on that. You're in the arena, you're slinging it out. But what we're saying is you're going to keep fighting the good fight and you're going to be the bigger person and the better dater. And you're going to do better by internalizing these qualities. And what's going to happen is you're going to be more positive. You're going to be a better date. You're going to be a better listener. You're going to look for the conversational gold and you're going to get more dates with people that are like you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So, okay, let's get to the nitty gritty. Dates 1 through 4. Okay. I want you to think about what I said earlier. I want to know how you feel on this date. Did you feel safe? Did you feel like it was fun? Did you feel like it was easy? Did you feel like there were really no red flags? I don't care if you don't feel chemistry, right? That can come later in the game. The goal of these first 4 dates, it's getting to know you and seeing, like, do I feel like this person could be a friend of mine?
And I think friend is really key word there. It's easy breezy. You do not need to know on the first date if this is going to be the love of your life, if this is the person you're going to marry, if this is going to be a relationship. Lower your expectations. And when I say lower expectations, I'm not saying accept scraps. What I'm saying is go in with the idea of you're just looking to screen somebody in as somebody that's just a nice person to have a conversation with. And you're ruling them out if there are obvious red flags or zero attraction, where if this person ever held your hand, you would get the ick factor. That. But if you did video, you would already know that ahead of time. But we'll just
dong dong. Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And so topically, right, we've given you a lot of preamble to this. I think the most important thing is have organic conversation. And when you're a great listener and you're listening for the gold, conversation becomes really organic, okay? And you can learn a hell of a lot about somebody if you listen and you ask more questions, probe more deeply. Now, what are the things, let's say you run out of conversation or you kind of want to know topically, what should I know at this point? Right? Mm-hmm. On dates 1 through 4. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. You do not need to know their entire life story on the first date, second date, even the third date. You have to start with the basic conversation first to get a little bit deeper. So the way that we would break this up is those first few dates are really just meet and greets. You're looking to make, you're just screening people out for red flags. You're looking to build connection and see if they could be a friend. You're getting the general information and the lay of the land. And more importantly, you're really listening to the things they decide to disclose first. As you get further along in dating, the questions start getting meatier. You start really digging more into their family of origin and their relationship history. And you start asking those questions because you've built rapport. And then when you get even further along in dating, then you start asking those deeper questions more about compatibility with the two of you. That's just sort of the general framework. But if you ask somebody even on the first date, do you see yourself getting married? Do you want to get married? Are you going to have more kids? Or what happened? People can tell you answers on the first few dates that might change a little bit when they have context and they know you a little bit better down the road. So you can ask these questions, but you're going to want to revisit them a little bit later. So our recommendation is keep those first few dates. The dates should just be fun and they should be lighthearted. So asking questions where you can find things that you have in common that you can really start to plan future dates off of, that would be a good start. What do you think? If you had, like, what's a good question, Belle, that you've heard recently that you're like, ooh, that is a good question for a first date?
You know, I love a question that actually came from you many years ago. And when you reframed a question, we all ask each other about work, you know, and for those of you that are still working, or maybe those of you that are retired, what did you do for work, right? And it's like, and I love your reframe on that about what did you most love, or what do you most love about what you do, or what keeps you busy?
Yes. Oh, I love that. Well, I love the what keeps you busy question. That is really, and that's a great question when you're also looking at a profile and there's hardly any information on there, because it gives somebody an opening to really pick what's most important to them, to prioritize what they're going to ask you, what they want to share. So what keeps you busy could be my job, my kids, pickleball, anything. And it's where they take it. And then that's where you can start asking those follow-up questions. So I love the what keeps you busy, and then dig more into that. I also love the question, if you could live anywhere for a year, where would that be?
Oh yeah, man. I would live somewhere where there's mountains and water. We just took a family trip to Carmel and Big Sur and that whole part of Central California, which is so spectacular in its natural beauty. I mean, if I had to pick mountains or water, I would probably pick mountains over water. But if I could have both, I would have both.
Oh, I would too. Mountains with a lake. I'm all about that. I love water. I'm with you.
Oh yeah. Like I could live a year in Banff and Lake Louise.
Oh, see this question already. And I could start answering this a million ways too, but it really opens it up. And what this does is everybody always loves to ask about travel. Well, where have you traveled? Where would you love to go next? It's the same questions date after date. And that can start to feel a little bit robotic. And then the dates can blend together. So these are ways of getting at these topics a little bit differently. So it's, what do you do for work? What do you love about what you do? Even a follow-up question to that going back is, what did you think you would do before? Did you always know you were going to be a lawyer, or did you have another dream? And you get to that. And these are just simple follow-up questions that take it a little bit deeper. Or if it's travel, you can start with, where have you been this past year? All right, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you love to live? And then you can go from there. And it can be, or if you could travel anywhere in the world if budget was unlimited, where would you like to go?
I love
same,
that.
Same subjects, but it's just asking those, it's just getting at it in a different way.
And yeah, I love this because it just tells you about, you know, indirectly, maybe not the most important things that people value, but you start to get to know what they would do. It's like, you know what? If money was no object, how would you spend your time?
Yes.
What would you do? But for me, I'd be doing the same thing. I wouldn't
change. I have to say, I know. We're really lucky we get to do this for a living. But my kids love asking in the car the would you rather questions. Some of them are very, very difficult. And they always usually revolve around being paid $1 trillion. But it does get to value. We do have really good conversations around it. And I think that, but you're right. What would you do if money was no object? Or if, what is something that if you could do this for free, like, what do you think you'd be really good at? Like, what would you want to teach other people?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And you can also ask, you know, little spins on this. It's like, what are you most proud of in your life? Right. And for some people that, you know, so many people I think will say, my kids are what I'm most proud of. Right. And for some people, it could be their career success or something they've done. But as much as you can ask your questions in a way that gets people talking about something that they are, that is fun for them, that they mm-hmm. like, or that they're proud of, those are great questions to think around. How can I put this person that's sitting across from me in the most favorable light?
Yes. And really digging, and I think that's so important because people will really open up when you touch on what their passion is. And everybody, and that could take somebody who could be a little bit more nervous or a little shyer. You can just watch them just sort of burst at the seams when they talk about their love for how they play, the clarinet for this small band that nobody's ever heard of on the side because they still love like the mu love music or whatever it might be, or how they got really into woodworking during the pandemic, and now they have made this whole thing. It, subjects that you wouldn't normally think about can really get there when you start talking about not only what are you most proud of, but what's, even those small things like what's something about you that nobody else knows? What's
Right.
something?
I love
You
that.
could get a lot of information around that. Maybe they share something real spicy. Who knows?
Right. And it can be really innocuous, right? If somebody asked me that question, the first answer that came to mind, and I remember I said this in a podcast years ago, and people, for those of you who haven't listened to podcasts that long, I said, what's something that people don't know? I said, you can tell by what someone calls me where they come from in my life. And so anybody that knew me that is in my family or college or prior calls me Belle. They never call me Bella. Anybody that's known me in my adult life, working, school, subsequent jobs, everybody calls me Bella. So it's super interesting that you can instantly tell. And I know. And if one person that was out of that context called me the other name, and it's just the difference of one syllable, right? But it's this quirky, weird thing. So you probably didn't know that about me, but there you go. So I've had people write to me saying, could I call you Belle? I'm like, you absolutely can now that you know. So it's just funny.
Yes.
But
And
that's easy. It's not too invasive, guys. This is how you can answer these kinds of questions. Pick something fun and quirky and go with that. You don't have to, well, I don't know if you knew about the trauma. My parents are immigrants. You don't have to go there.
no. Avoid that, actually. Avoid it. Yes.
Avoid the
Keep it
drama and
light.
the trauma bonding. We don't
Yes.
need to do that. Light, easy breezy. Fun. Bring the fun. Bring the fun bits of yourself to the date and bring these fun questions. And the questions are kind of like, who are you? Where did you come from? What's made you you?
Yes.
Why? Where do you want to go? Right? If you think about the who, what, when, where, why rubric, you'll
That's your
learn
formula
more.
right there.
And then, as we get into, and we're going to do a follow-up episode to this that talks about, okay, when you get past these first dates where you're like, okay, I'm getting on date five, date six, what do I want to start to know? And that's where we're going to be talking more about values and family of origin and prior relationships. All that stuff matters. Now, remember, if somebody brings it up now on the first few dates, it's fair game, as we've taught you, to ask more about that. But that doesn't mean you have to have an equivalent disclosure. You just have to have a nice, smart way to get out of the conversation.
Yes. And you bring up, and that's an excellent point that about, and I wanted to circle back to that about the trauma bonding, why you don't want to do that on a first date. If somebody brings something up that's really heavy, you do want to respond really with a lot of empathy and care and just that, and acknowledge how difficult that had to be. You can ask about it,
Yeah.
but if you have equally had the same story, that is not the time for you to dig right in and share, just say, me too, and let me now tell you all of it. It does not need to be equal. And that's really important because we do get feedback on dates. And what can happen sometimes is if you both had a similar traumatic experience, one person might leave the date saying, wow, this person really gets me. We have both gone through this. We've really suffered. We would be a great team. The other person might walk away saying, gosh, you know what? I've been through a lot in my family and I don't ever want to do that again. So I actually am not looking for that. And then what's happened is you've become too vulnerable and shared a really personal part of who you are to a stranger that you're not going to see again. And we don't want you giving pieces of yourself away until somebody has really earned that privilege of really getting to know who you are, save it. Save it for the people that really, that you want in your life. Just because they ask, you don't have to share.
Right. And you don't want to say, I'm not ready to share that yet, because then you sound like a robot or you red flag yourself at that point. So once you're, let's say somebody discloses their trauma and you're empathic and you're listening and you're asking more questions, you will find a smart way to segue into a different conversation. Oh my gosh. Speaking of, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask you, and you move away from that conversation before it comes back to you.
Yes. And that technique works wonders. And that's where, because you've been listening and paying attention, you have other things to circle back to. And another thing you can try as well is take what was in the past and flip it to being future focused. So if something has, they talk about something that was bad before, you can then really listen. And then you could say, well, what are you looking forward to now? What is, you know, what do you think, you know, what would you like to be different? Or what are you really looking for in a partner? What's going to be next? And then get them talking about something in the future, which, as we know, is a made up thought, but it gets people dreaming a little bit. It lightens the mood. And then you can then transition that to another subject.
Absolutely. And the last thing I want to add is, if you're dubious or somebody says something that makes you wonder, what are their intentions in dating? Mm-hmm. Right? Are they just in this? If they show up to a date and, you know, they're like, oh, you know what? I have been a relationship disaster for the last decade, and I'm just out here to casually date, see who's who, see what's what. And you can say, oh, that's really interesting. Tell me more about that. Right. And so what you want to know is this person looking for the same thing you are? And if you can't glean it from what they're saying, that they're just looking for a hookup, or they're just, you know, they're not looking for anything serious, it's okay to ask the question, use your voice and say, you know, do you think you're looking for a long-term relationship while you're dating right now?
Yes. Ask. Don't be afraid to ask. I think don't make assumptions and assume that you could figure out what the answer is without asking, because that's not right. It will never work. We will create our own version of that story in our head. So you're exactly right. Like, you can ask in a good way. And this is a question that, you know, even though you're going to get into it a little bit deeper on your later dates, on the first few dates, it's really reasonable to ask somebody, hey, you know, when you put your profile up online, what kind of outcome are you hoping for? And we get this, and people ask that question, and then they get, oh, well, gosh, you know, we get very honest answers. You know, I'm just looking to meet a lot of people and just, you know, maybe make some friends. I'm looking for some more pickleball partners. Who knows? Or you could get the, you know, I've built my business and I put too much effort into my career and I'm really ready to be married and this is my top priority. And you get a very different answer. So ask the questions and then just know, again, we'll guide you later on. You'll dig a little bit deeper into that further along, but you do want to just cover the basis very, like, lightly, surface.
Exactly. And if it goes deep, go with it. Glean more information, then you can segue if you're not ready to do that. But yeah, there's no have to haves or must haves up for questions that you have to ask. I think Lindsay laid out some really good questions for you about getting to know each other. Just think about these first four dates as getting to know you.
Yes.
Right? Getting to know who you are.
Yeah, that song.
Yeah, getting to know you. And that's really it. Like, think about the who, what, when, where, why rubric. Yeah. Like, okay, why are you back out here dating? Where have you been? Right. And these are great questions, really. And if somebody talks about something, it's always fair game. And if you want to know something, I will end this with a story. We have a client who recently just got married. And when she first started working with us, she saw a profile of a gentleman online that looked great. Great photos. He said interesting things. A lot of things matched. But in his profile, he said, I don't know what I'm looking for. When you have the options to say, I'm looking for short term, I'm looking for long term, I'm looking for marriage. And she said, well, should I just left swipe him? I said, no, ask the question. Like, hey,
Yes.
we have so much in common. I love this photo of you at Lake Louise. It's one of my favorite places on earth. I'm curious, in your profile, you say you're not sure what you're looking for. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And so his response was, oh my gosh, I'm looking for a long-term relationship. I didn't know that I had checked. I don't know. Thank you for letting me know.
Yes.
Use your voice. If
Yes.
something, just ask.
Yes.
Don't assume. If everything else checks out, if there's a lot of weird red flags and they say, I'm just looking for short-term casual fun, left swipe, skip them. But if everything except one thing looks okay, say something nice in the beginning and then ask your question.
And you are so right. People are really honest and upfront about it if you ask. So when our clients are looking at those profiles and we look at relationship intention, we tend to screen in people who want a serious relationship. Or we also screen in the don't know yet for that very reason that we will dig and find out more. We tend to screen out the date but nothing serious or just want to see who's out there because those are very specific choices that tell you a lot that they chose that to mark the box. Now, if a client, I had a client recently who came across a profile she really liked, but he had just want to see who's out there. And then he wrote her this incredibly thoughtful message. She's like, but he has just one who wants to see who's out there. I'm like, okay, respond to his lovely message. And then I want you to ask, hey, I noticed that you have just want to see who's out there under relationship intention. I'm looking for something more serious, and I just am not sure we'd be aligned. And he wrote back, you're exactly right. I'm just out of a divorce. I have no intention of being in a relationship anytime soon. Loved your profile. Good luck. And that was it. And we got the answer we needed. We deleted and we moved on.
Peace out, dude. We're done.
So, yes, I think the biggest thing to take away from today is don't assume, just ask. Be
Exactly.
clear.
And
Ask
the
a
right questions
few.
make themselves evident if you're a good listener. And if you needed the rubric, we gave you the rubric of what kinds of questions to ask around who, what, when, where, why. Where would you like to travel to? Right. And what were some of the other that what keeps you busy? What do you like about what you do? Where have you been? Right. And so I think that if you utilize this rubric, I think you're going to have a lot of fun on your dates. You are going to feel better about the questions you're going to ask, about how you're going to listen. Remember, I want you to listen to understand. And that's very different. And you know what the advantage of that? I do this, right? I read about this a long time ago. In order to listen, to change into what I call active listening, listening to understand, they say give yourself a physical cue. So I always say when I want to go into listen to understand, I wiggle my toes or I tap my toes. And that cues me into a different kind of listening. And I will tell you, every electron in my body changes when I am listening to understand. I listen with my entire mind, heart, and soul because my goal is to listen to you and get to know you. And it makes conversation so much more fun, so much more easy. And so, if you two use that listen to understand, wiggle your toes, you'll become an awesome listener. Conversation is going to flow and you will learn so much more about this person. And like Lindsay said, when you become a great listener, people are going to like you and think that you're a great conversationalist.
Yes. So true. Are you wiggling your toes during this conversation?
I do. I wiggle my toes a lot. I tap them right here. If you could see them, they're going like this. So,
Yes.
ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you have loved this episode. Come back to it often. We need these reminders, right? And be yourself, be authentic, bring the fun version of yourself. Start it out lightheartedly, right? Look at the date like you are going to meet a friend. Give them a hug. Look for what's good. listen to understand. And if you need the questions, have those three back of your pocket questions that we talked about, three questions in your back pocket to have with you. Think about travel. Think about where would you love to live? What keeps you busy right now? Right.
And if you asked a really good question,
Yeah.
If you asked a really great question on a date, write it down.
Use it down.
Date. Pay attention to what kind of questions people ask you and how you feel when you're asked those questions, and be on that other side of that too, so that you can bring that forward to the next date.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for being an outstanding guest as always. And I'm so happy. And we're going to be recording a follow-up to this about when you get to dates 5, 6, 7, 8, 13, 14, 15, whatever it is, what are the things that we want to know if we don't know already? So if you love this episode, share it with people. If someone's talked too much on a date and they're not a good listener, feel free to just say, hey, you might love my favorite podcast, and have them listen to this. And hopefully you're doing some other daters some good in the world by getting this person to become a better listener. So thank you so much, Lindsay, for being on today. And thank you, listeners, so much for being here with us and being loyal listeners and ardent supporters. And if you loved this episode, go in, give it a 5-star rating, share it far and wide. This is something you can do to make the dating world a lot better, is share good information with people around you. Maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your colleagues. Doing the tips that you learned today will make you a better conversationalist, whether you're single, whether you're married, or whether you're a kid in Lindsay's family.
My mom would be so proud.
Ruth Ann would be so proud. So make sure you send this to her as well. You did a great job, Ruth Ann.
I know. Look at that, Mom. Good. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Until further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I bid you farewell. Have a wonderful week. And if you are ready to jump in and transform your love life, get to the Smart Dating Academy website and set up some sessions with Lindsay and me. You will not regret it. So until next week, I bid you farewell. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love, follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.